tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
Lord, I'm ready now. All the walls are down. welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today here on the Hope Show. I'm sorry that I missed all of you last Saturday, but I was really sick. I was laid up in bed. But I want to shout out a big thank you to Shaziz, my husband, for making it possible that the Hope Show still aired. He did an amazing job, didn't he? Sometimes I wonder how I would make it if I were to find myself without him one day. But I hope all of you had a wonderful holiday season, and now we are in the new year of 2020. A new year brings opportunities for new beginnings, fresh starts, do-overs. I know for many of you out there, this past year or even past several years have been some really tough years for you, and myself included. Normally about this time of the year, I do messages on New Year's resolutions, but this year, it has been placed upon my heart to do something slightly different. Every year we go into the new year with expectations of grand resolutions that generally fail before the end of January. And this brings me to the question, are our minds in the right place? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, what has been going on in my life over the past year, or even beyond that, years? Have life circumstances put you in a place of mental distress? If so, then how can you be sure that you are capable of making wise choices about this new year if your mind is a mess? This brings me to today's message, New Year, New Me, Emotional Detoxing. But before we get started, let's bow our head in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, You make all things new. You bring hope alive in our hearts and cause our spirits to be born again. Thank You for this new year and for all the potential it holds. Come and kindle in us a mighty flame for this new year. We have our hopes and our expectations for the year ahead of us, but You alone know what it holds for each of us. And only You can give us the strength and the wisdom that we will need to meet the challenges of this year. Help us to humbly put our hands into Your hand, and to trust You and seek Your will for our lives during this coming year. In the midst of life's uncertainties in the days ahead, assure us of Your unchanging love for us. In the midst of life's disappointments and heartaches, help us to turn to You for the stability and the comfort that we need. In midst of life's temptations and the pull of our own stubborn will, help us, Lord, to not lose our way, but to have the courage to do what is right. And in the midst of daily preoccupation and pursuits, please, Lord, open our eyes to our hurting world and help us to respond with compassion. We pray for our nation and its leaders during these difficult times. We pray for the armed forces. We pray for their protection and safe returns to their family. Please bring this divided nation back together. And as we look back over the past year, we thank You for Your goodness to us, far beyond what any of us deserve. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the promise and the hope of this new year, and we look forward to it with expectancy and faith. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that moment of opening prayer. So let's get started. Have you been feeling like you've been running on empty for a while now? Does your mind feel tired and depleted? How do you know if you need to emotionally detox? What does that mean? When you think of the word detox, you probably think of diets, healthy smoothies made with all those fruits and veggies, exercise, things that aim to build your immune system and to take out all the toxins in your body. But an emotional detoxing is the cleansing of the mind and the heart. An emotional detoxing is the cleansing of the mind and the heart. This form of detoxing is especially important for those who always put others first. I fall into that same category. Every so often, it is good to reclaim your mind, body, and soul, so that we do not find ourselves so depleted that we can't even help ourselves, let alone someone else. It is exhausting, and it takes a huge toll on the body when you are always giving and not taking the time to be replenished yourself. If you find yourself trying to fix everyone else's problems, feeling guilty for saying no, or becoming less engaged with your loved ones, then you are most likely a candidate to receive some emotional detoxing. If you take more time for others than you do for yourself, or have experienced some type of trauma, then a detox will certainly help. If you are a thinker, dwelling on life's problems, or finding it harder and harder to be in the present moment, an emotional detoxing is worth considering. And so what are some of those warning signs that you should be looking for? Being easily distracted, excessive worry about the future, losing or gaining more weight than usual, binge eating or eating too little, financial insecurity, relationship problems, being untruthful to yourself or others, avoiding certain people or places, spending too much time alone, ignoring your gut feelings, feeling overwhelmed, doing unhealthy things that you shouldn't be doing to escape the pressures of life. Am I hitting home for anybody out there right now? Focusing or being stuck on the past more than the present. Trouble speaking up for yourself, self-doubt or second-guessing yourself. Feeling stuck or out of balance. Feeling easily swayed by the opinions of others. Comparing yourself to others or not feeling good enough. Feeling like you work hard and yet nothing changes. And some of the physical symptoms that you might experience are trouble sleeping, chronic tension, headaches, allergies, illness or pain, depression and anxiety. Does any of this sound like something that you are experiencing right now? Most of us view detoxing as a physical experience, a way to remove all the impurities acquired through the daily living. What we oftentimes don't realize is that it's not just our physical bodies that need to be cleansed in order to return to a healthy state of mind. When we are unable to process our emotions and they become toxic to ourselves and those around us, it's definitely time for an emotional detoxing. As Christians, we are told that we are not supposed to fear. In Psalms 23, 1-6, the Bible tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Most of you probably know this verse. It's used in funerals and at different times, and it's a very, very common verse. And so I'm sure that every one of you are probably familiar with that. But it is not just that easy. While as Christians we believe that God spoke into existence all of creation, yet we have a very hard time believing that God's got this, that our problems are being tended to, cared for. What it all comes down to is a simple little thing called faith, folks. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible tells us, "Keep guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life." In Galatians 5:22 and 23, Paul lists 9 specific behaviors: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says that against such things there is no law. We were all given the tools necessary to resolve all of these problems when we were born. There comes a time when we have to be responsible. When something is toxic, it's poisonous. It can destroy you, especially if you feed into it. When we go around dwelling on the wrong thoughts, thinking about what we cannot do or how we will never get ahead, those are toxic thoughts. When we beat ourselves up, allowing the list of symptoms that I just mentioned to define who we become, that's toxic thinking. Negativity breeds negativity. The strength of our faith will determine our destiny to the extent of how many times we will fall on our face throughout our lifetime. Toxic thoughts left alone become like toxic waste that sink into our heart and our mind, and it eventually contaminates our whole life. It affects our self-image, our attitude, our confidence, and ultimately even our success. That is why the scripture says to guard your heart, because the condition of your heart and mind determines the condition of your whole life. Faith is so simple, and yet it is everything else around it that complicates it. In Matthew 17:20, the Bible says, "He replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, and if you have faith as small as a mustard seed," that's pretty small, folks, just as small as a mustard seed, "you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." In Ephesians 6:12, the Bible tells us, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We all go through times in our life where we must go through mental and emotional cleansing. It's not just a one-time deal. It's a process that we must undergo from time to time as maintenance for God's temple, our body. And so this new year, I want you to make the decision to detox any negative, self-defeating thought by studying God's Word. Make the decision to detox low self-esteem, negative words that have been spoken over you. Detox condemnation. Make the decision to dwell on what God says about you. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are saved, redeemed, restored. Let me say that again, folks. God says you are forgiven. You are loved. You are saved, redeemed, and restored. God says your best days are in front of you. God says He will restore the years that the enemy has stolen. As you detox your mind and fill your thoughts with His promises, you will see His hand of blessing on your life. You will rise up higher, and you will live the more abundant life that God has chosen for you. Sometimes we have to know when the right time is to walk away from toxic people, toxic events, circumstances. And there is freedom in walking away from those toxic things in our life. In John 14:12, the Bible says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believeth in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." In Genesis, the Bible states that man is created in God's image. And therefore, God did not make any trash, folks. God did not make any trash. But He created treasure. Treasure in each and every single one of us. We are God's treasure. No matter what is going on in our life, no matter how poorly we may feel about ourselves or our circumstances, God says we are His treasure. He cares about everything that goes on in our lives. God didn't create us to live a life of suffering, folks, but instead a life of joy and abundance. We must shake off those chains that are keeping us bound and in bondage to the emotional baggage that we carry with us each and every day. It's not until we give it all to God and trust Him, lay it at His feet, Trust him to take care of us. Trust him to take care of the problem, that we will fully experience the freedom of mental and emotional cleansing. It's impossible to have a positive, peaceful life and at the same time have a negative mind. The Bible even talks about when to walk away from toxic people and toxic circumstances in our life. Jesus has even shown this by example in the Bible, that sometimes that it is the best course of action, or to let someone walk away from us. In the Gospels, we read that when Jesus spoke a hard truth, sometimes the other person chose to walk away. Other times, the person asked Jesus to leave, and he complied. There were also times when people begged Jesus to stay, and yet he still walked away, to remain completely focused on the mission that God had for him. But when we take the time to renew our minds with God's Word, we learn to think like God thinks, say what God says, and act like He wants us to act. When all these things come together, friends, then, and only then, can we have the life that God wants for us. Abundance, filled with His righteousness, peace, and joy. It is important for us to know who God is. He is not angry, harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. He is comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. God loves you, and God loves me. He loves every single one of us out there. And if you only knew how much He loves you right now, then you will have hope that the things in your life that need to change can be changed. If you don't like yourself, if you're going to have difficulty in that area of your life forever. And don't demand perfection from yourself, because no one is perfect. And no matter what we do, we usually don't think it is enough. But that is why Jesus came. In Christ, there is more right with you than wrong with you. And you can do whatever you need to do in life through Him. Trials, hardships, these are the painful things that we go through in life. It's normal. None of us get out of this life without having to deal with trials and hardships. In Habakkuk, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, 3:19 says, God is our strength, and He will help us to walk, not stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon our high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. James encourages us by saying, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. We need to change our thinking. We oftentimes put too much importance on what other people think of us. It's easy to let what other people do and say affect us, and to feel like, if you don't like me, then my day is ruined. But the truth is that we should thrive to be a God-pleaser instead of a people-pleaser. We will not become what God created us to be and do if we are more concerned with how others think about us instead of what God thinks about us. In Isaiah 64:8, the Bible reads, but now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are our potter. We are all the work of Your hand. Each of us are God's amazing creation. And all throughout our lives on earth, He wants to do a continual work in us, in each and every one of us. As we yield to Him and let Him do His work in us, what is best for you, the results will be exciting and will even exceed your expectations. For every vision we have, We must go through a process to get there. And friends, I encourage you to stay the course. Stay determined. No matter what, to stick to that process and to see it to the end. I read in a piece from an old Joyce Meyer article that she likens soul restoration to refurbishing old furniture. When a person restores a used up, beat up piece of furniture, the first thing you must do is strip off all those old layers of paint and varnish. We all have things that need to be stripped away in our lives. Maybe it is an old attitude or a mindset that does not line up with the way God thinks or acts, or unhealthy relationships that are holding you back from God's purpose and plan for you. Whatever is going on to get the toxic things out of your life, whatever is going on that's hindering your walk, God has to strip that away. Everything is not good for you. If it's hindering your walk and hindering, you know, the life that God wants for you, then it needs to be stripped away and gotten rid of. Sanding is also another process in the refurbishing of furniture. Dusting and polishing too. Are there people in your life whose personality just grates on you? They're like sandpaper. And as God uses them to get the rough edges off of us, so the good things He has put in us can be developed and demonstrated in the ways that we live our life. Then comes the dusting and the polishing. Does anyone else out there besides me ever feel as if God is polishing your life in some area? Our walk with Christ is a lifelong journey that is meant to bring us closer to Him and make us feel more like Him. That is why we should be thankful when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins or the mistakes that we make. It is how God polishes us to help us to stay in God's will. And before we go any further, I want to go ahead and take a short break. So please stay tuned to The Hope Show after these two songs. Please don't go anywhere, because I believe that you will truly be blessed by the second half of this message.
All I could see was the struggle.
Thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. I'm happy that you all have decided to join me. And if you're just tuning in, today's message is New Year, New Me, Emotional Detoxing. Most of the time when we think about the new year, we think of New Year's resolutions. We reflect on what didn't happen last year and set a goal for ourselves for the new year to try to make those things happen this year. But what if you're going into the new year with last year's emotional and mental baggage? Keeping your mind, your heart, and your soul healthy is extremely important. If your mind isn't healthy, isn't in the right place, then how can you expect anything else to fall into place? If you're still mad, hurt, bitter, resentful, holding a grudge, or lacking forgiveness in your heart over something that someone did or said to you, or if you're still dwelling on something that has happened to you, by some other circumstance, or still replaying the hateful things that someone has said to you, or if you have self-confidence, or your self-confidence has taken a brutal beating because of someone, constantly belittling you, or whatever your circumstance can be, how can you expect to find true peace and joy in the new year? New Year's resolutions are more than just thinking, I'm going to lose weight this year, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to go out there and find that dream job, I'm going to find my dream spouse and we'll live happily ever after. Everything about you, folks, everything you do, your dreams, your hopes, aspirations, faith, all those things, they are all connected to how you think and how you feel. If you're not in a good place mentally, it will become a stumbling block that will prevent you from getting where God wants you to be and having the things that God wants you to have. How many of you realize, truly realize, that weight, eating, health can be influenced by your emotions? How many of you truly realize that true peace and joy are influenced by your emotions? Right thinking instead of sinking thinking. How many of you realize that how you feel about yourself will indicate how far you will go in this life? If you are constantly down on yourself and think that you are not good enough, then you will never succeed because you will think you can't do this or that. And then you won't even try, and you'll quit because you already have a self-defeated attitude. Proverbs 17:22 tells us, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Let me explain that a little more. A merry heart, a joyful heart, doth good, like medicine. So being truly happy and joyful, at peace, no matter what your situation is, does the body good. It makes it healthy and vigorous. Cheerfulness of spirit has a great influence upon the body, and much of that contributes to our health and our overall well-being, especially a heart full of spiritual joy, peace, peace of conscience, flowing from the blood of Christ, joy in the Holy Ghost, rejoicing in righteousness and hope of God. These things also greatly affect the outward of our bodies. A true joyful heart is truly good medicine. It raises the spirits, invigorates the body, and it makes it fit for business and service. It makes us operate with kindness, goodness, and with good purpose. But as a spirit, our soul, if it's broken down with sorrow, whether on spiritual or temporary circumstances, then it weakens the nerves in us, and it dries up the marrow in our bones. It dries up the body, and it reduces us to just skeleton. The joy or grief of the mind, those passions of the soul, they have a very great influence upon the body, either for its good or for its bad. True love, joy, and peace in our spirit restores and preserves our bodily health and vigor. But an unhealthy spirit just shrivels it up, and you can physically watch the decay over time, especially if you're witnessing this in another person. It's sometimes harder to see that when it's happening to ourselves, but I'm sure each and every one of you have probably witnessed at one point or another someone who's just constantly beaten down and self-defeated. It truly does have a tremendous toll on your body, and you can actually see that person deteriorating right before your eyes. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you know someone, and maybe you're friends with them, maybe it's part of your family, but if you have the time to be around someone like that, and the time to witness, you know, the events in their health, you can see just what a tremendous toll it takes on a person when they have a defeated attitude, and that they just feel poorly about themselves. That is why it is so very important to take time out to detox your mind and your emotions on a regular basis. It is literally a life or death matter. Emotions are one of life's gifts, God-given gifts. They offer us a way to experience the full spectrum of what it means to be truly alive and well. When we have a healthy relationship to our emotional experiences, we can truly appreciate what each experience has to offer us, from sadness to joy. But if you find yourself overreacting or withdrawing to certain situations, then you may want to consider an emotional cleanse. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the Bible tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," and I love that. I just absolutely love that. And I pray that quite often over my own circumstances, over the circumstances of my children and my friends and my family, my loved ones, everybody. Lord, please give us the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard our hearts and our mind. Romans 8:6 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace." Allowing our emotions to control us is not godly. Denying our emotions is not godly either. We should be thankful that God has given us the gift to feel such an array, such a spectrum of emotion. But the way to managing and controlling our emotion is to grow in our walk with God. We are transformed by the renewal of our minds, it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who produces self-control in us, in Galatians 5, 23. We need daily input from the Word of God. God designed our emotion to be gauges, not guides. Let me say that again. God designed our emotions to be gauges and not guides. They are meant to report to us that something is wrong, not to dictate to us, not to define us. The pattern of your emotions will give you a reading on where your hope is, because they are wired into what you believe and what you value and how much. That's why emotions like joy, affection, fear, anger, etc. are so important in the Bible. They reveal what your heart loves, trusts, and fears. You know, I read something the other day that said, "Pleasure is the measure of your treasure." Let me repeat that for emphasis. Let this resonate in your mind today. Pleasure is the measure of your treasure. The emotion of pleasure is a gauge that tells you what you love. Emotions are wired into our fallen, sinful nature, and Satan, too, has access to them and will use them to try and manipulate us to act without faith. Emotions are not our boss. Satan is not our boss. Satan doesn't control us unless we allow him to do so. Satan can't even touch us unless we give him the foothold to do so. Friends, get ready today. Get ready today. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible tells us to be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And that someone is you and me and Shaziz and everyone else out there in the world today. Satan will make promises to and or threats against you. He will most likely try and tap into your weak areas of unbelief. And you may find that your emotions rapidly going in the wrong direction. I've been there. Everybody has. When you recognize this happening, remember Emotions are a gauge, but not a guide. They don't define you. You cannot allow yourself to be led by emotions alone. Emotions cannot always be trusted, especially when you're going through a difficult time in your life. Things are not always as they appear from your perspective. When you're going through a difficult time, it's easy to be swept away by your emotions. They can get the better of us. Satan can use that to his advantage, and things can rapidly get out of hand. And they can stay out of hand. Satan blinds us to the truth of the situation. Satan tries to get us confused, rushed, distracted, etc. He gets inside our head and plays mind games with us. He manipulates us like a puppet. But God is all-powerful, and you have all the tools you need in God's Word to defeat Satan and to stay on the right path, the righteous path, the healthy path, the path that God has chosen you that says, you can do this. You are worth this. You are so much more. Friends, you have to just tell Satan to leave. He cannot stay where God is. And also remember that these momentary afflictions are preparing you for something far greater in your future. They are launching you into a far greater place designed by God. And beyond all that, when we pass from this earth, an eternal place in heaven right alongside God. Don't give up the race that God has put before you. We all go through tons of emotional things throughout our life, but you have to remain strong. You know, I just told someone recently, and I fully believe this, and I practice this, I apply this to my life daily. I haven't always, but I do now. You know, there was a time in my own life where I look back on my life and I regretted certain things and I felt guilty about certain things. And as I have mentioned in times before, you know, I've made a real mess out of my life. And thank God he didn't give up on me. You know, because I can see today when I look back of the mess of my life, you know, I don't camp there anymore like I used to. I don't pitch a tent and stay. When I look back now, I don't look back at all the things I did wrong and stay there. I look back only long enough to see where I was and how far God has brought me since and who I am and where I'm at today. You have to remain courageous and love yourself as God loves you. Friends, people are just people. They are going to upset us, disappoint us, make us feel bad about ourselves, make us feel defeated, not good enough, angry. But friends, they are only human too, just like us. They're flawed and sinful, just as we are. And you have to remember that Satan is also pulling their puppet strings too, causing them to react in certain ways. They have their own baggage. They have their own issues. But you can't focus on what's going on in somebody else's life. You need to focus on what's going on in your life. And even circumstances, everyday circumstances, the things that go on in our lives, those things are temporal, temporary. You know, it's just life. Life goes from one circumstance to the next to the next. But you've got to be strong enough. You've got to have enough faith and enough trust to God to see you through those valleys and back up onto that mountaintop again, because you can't camp in the valley. It serves you no purpose, and you'll get stuck, and that's where you will remain. And that is not what God purposes for your life. It's a vicious cycle. But that is why we need to put on the full armor of God every morning. so that we will be suited up with all the tools that we need to face the challenges of the day and to have victory over those challenges. If you are not equipped with the knowledge that you need, then how can you win the battle? Our mind is a battlefield. We are at war every day. You have to be stronger and be more courageous in faith in God, in how God has designed you, because you are perfectly and wonderfully made in Christ's image. You are not trash. You are a diamond. A diamond, folks. You are a diamond. You are a treasure. Even if you don't think so or feel so, God knows so. If only you could see yourself as God sees you, you would be blinded by the beauty that you hold inside yourself. You are only limited by what you think and feel in your own mind. God says anything is possible through Him. God says you have the ability to move mountains just by believing and telling the mountain to move. God says you can quiet the storm just by merely telling it to stop. If only you believe, really and truly believe, you can do and be anything you want. Most people, myself included, are probably not living up to our full potential because there is some emotional or mental block from our past. For those of you who have children, I want you to think about this for a moment. Please listen. For those of you who have children, when you look at them, don't you see big things for their future? Don't you see that the sky is the limit for them? They can do anything they set their mind to. The future is so bright for them. Yet it is so discouraging to see them hold themselves back when you can see all the potential, but they can't. Sometimes you want to shout, "What are you waiting for? Go, go, go! You can do it!" Remember the first day that they walked, talked, rode a bicycle by themselves, drove a car, all those monumental moments that changed everything forever. Good things. Remember how excited you were for them? How your heart leaped out of your chest? How proud of them you were? Seeing them succeed. For those of you without children, maybe you are an aunt, an uncle, a best friend to someone with children, and yet maybe you have still experienced those same precious moments of a child succeeding at something, and the awe in their eyes that they did it. It's so awesome. God feels that same way about you. He's so excited. He's like, "Go, go, go! You can do it! What are you waiting for? Come on!" And yet, we get stuck. And there we sit. It's so sad. Friends, we are His children. He created each and every one of us. Can you imagine looking down on your children, someone you created, and seeing the fear in them that paralyzes them and prevents them from trying to reach for the stars? As I said, you may feel defeated, as if you can't pick yourself up and move forward. Like this is as good as it's going to get. That you'll never be successful. That you'll never find the right person to share your life with. That you are just destined for mediocre living. But you know what? God knows better. He created you. He knows better. Just the faith of a mustard seed, friends. That's all it takes. He created you for great things, abundant living. The only thing that is getting in the way of your success is whatever you allow to come into your mind. Because whatever you allow to come into your mind, there's so your body will surely follow. Friends, I am so passionate about this today. I'm so passionate about this because, oh, I'm thinking about each and every one of you. I'm thinking about my own daughter. I'm thinking about my two sons, my two daughters. I'm thinking about all those friends and loved ones in my life, and I'm thinking, go, go, go! Stop having this defeated mindset. You can do whatever you set your mind to in Christ. He says everything is possible through Him. Friends, meet the challenge. Tell Satan to leave. Get away from you. You are going to run the race. You're going to be all that God says you can be. I just hate the thought that any of you are just stuck. Because you have so much potential. So much potential. I hate the thought that even one of you is suffering and hurting. Because that is not what God wants for your life. Friends, make this new year about renewing your mind and detoxing it from all of the trash. First and foremost. Once you get your mind in the right place, everything else will fall into place. Trust and have faith in God. Pray. Let your petitions be known to Him. Ask Him for help. Tell Him what's on your mind. Talk to Him as if your best friend is in the very room with you. Don't worry about how foolish it may seem. Who cares? You're not here on this earth to impress people. God knows your heart, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what other people think or what they say or what they do. They've got their own issues, and they're going to have to face God with those issues one day too, but it's not about them. It's about you. It's about what you do with this life. Friends, I must confess, when things are like seriously, seriously weighing me down, like I'm so overwhelmed with feelings, I start to feel as if I'm going crazy, quite literally. Things bother me just as they bother you, folks. I'm not perfect. I'm not immune. I don't have it all together either. What I have is by the grace of God. And He keeps making me better and better every day. I am the clay and He is the potter. And if I get out of my way and I get out of His way, and I let Him do what He wants to do with me, I'm a work in progress, and I always will be until the day I die. But things bother me just as they bother you. The weight of this world sometimes crushes me too. Sometimes more than others. And it doesn't happen to the extent that it used to for me. But still, there are times, maybe a few times a year, that I will just really, really be just so overwhelmed and feeling so crazy inside, and I know I got to get away. I have to talk to God, you know. I have to get it aired out. It's the only way. I will go off by myself for a while. Have you ever felt so down, so shut off, so depressed, so withdrawn that you shut yourself off from those that you love? You just can't find the energy to share what is going on in your mind with your friends or your loved ones. And it just sits there, stinking thinking. It gets bottled up. And at some point, you've got to let all of that go, all of that crazy go. You got to let it go for your well-being. Well, I have found myself in that very same spot more times than I can care to count with you folks. And as I said, you know, life doesn't get so overwhelming, so crazy for me that, you know, it's like an everyday thing, every month thing, you know, but a few times a year, I allow Satan to get into my head and play these mind games with me, and I fall off the path just like everybody else does. And before you know it, I am just crazy. And I know what's happening. I know it's because I've walked off of the path of righteousness. And I'm allowed Satan the foothold into my mind, and he's just having a field day. Well, folks, I live out in the country, a little bit out of town where I live. But I have found myself a spot that's about a quarter of a mile from me, and it's a cemetery. It's pretty close to town, right behind a factory. And as crazy as it may sound, if I'm really, really, really in a bad way, and I know what's happening, I know that it's because I've allowed Satan the foothold, and I know what I gotta do to get back on the right path. Friends, I'll take a blanket to spread out on the ground, a box of Kleenexes, and a few bottles of water, because I know I'm gonna be there for a while. And I will go to the very tippy top of that cemetery, far, far in the back, to the oldest part of the cemetery. And I'll spread my blanket out. And I'll talk to God, pray, shout, cry. I'll just stay in the cemetery until every emotion is out of me. It might be 2 or 3 hours before I leave that cemetery. But afterwards, I have spent all that time with God, and there is such a peace, such a joy, such a calm that comes over me. It is as if God is saying, "My child, what took you so long? Here, my peace be with you." Reminding me that God is always there for me, always right by my side. And yet for a moment, I have forgotten and allowed Satan the foothold. I've often wondered if the people who work at the factory can hear me, because I must sound like a lunatic. If the people driving by on the blacktop look up at the cemetery and think that, "Look at that woman up there, she has lost her mind." But you know what? I don't care what other people think. I've gotten it out of my system. I've spent all that time with God, and I am ready for a brand new start. I am fired up. I am passionate about God, and I'm back on track. And I hope all of you have just such a place of your own to vent, to let it all out, everything that's troubling you. The idea behind an emotional detox is not to rid yourself of all of what you may consider to be the negative emotions, but rather to clear out all the junk that has you stuck, so that you will be able to be able to process and experience all your emotions in a healthy way. Just as a physical cleanse helps you to digest food better, an emotional cleanse helps you to digest your emotions better, your emotional experiences. Emotions can get stuck due to trauma, unhealthy attachments, or resistance to certain emotions, usually because we don't use the tools that God has given us to handle them. You need to clear some space in your mind. And for you that are computer savvy, friends, it's like rebooting your hard drive. Friends, as I said earlier, if you don't like yourselves, you will have difficulty in those areas of your lives forever. Don't demand perfection from yourself. No one is perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have baggage from past experiences. You may not think you are enough, but God says you will always be more than enough. Believe that in Christ there is more right than wrong with you, and that through Christ, you can do anything. Earlier in the show, I talked about the process of restoring old furniture. Where are you in the process of being restored? Are you still in the barn collecting more cobwebs and wear and tear? Are you in the shop getting all the gunk stripped off and ready for a fresh new start? Or are you all cleaned up and getting the final polish so you can get back out there and be productive? Trust, hope, and faith are truly awesome gifts from God, and it makes a huge difference in whether we have healing and restoration or if we remain parked in pain. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "He has plans for us for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give us a future and hope." God loves you. He has a good plan for you, but it's not going to happen by itself. It's not going to happen as long as we remain stuck deep, deep down all that emotional gunk. It's not going to happen. You have to do something. Say something. Pray something. You have to take some kind of action based on what you believe God has put in your heart. Faith doesn't buy salvation or the blessings of God. Faith is the hand that reaches out and receives what God has for us. What do you need to do? What do you need to entrust to God today? How do you need to put faith in God today? What fears, insecurities, or other hindrances are holding you back? How can you take steps of faith to overcome those obstacles, to totally trust in God? Friends, make that commitment. Make that resolution. Make that goal for this new year for you. Be healthy. Mindfully, purposefully, emotionally, be healthy. That is your best chance for success. Let this be the goal. To be healthy and whole, be Spirit-led. Let us go in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I invite you to purify my heart and my mind by your Spirit today and all the days of this new year. Wash me with your word. Make me new. Clean me. Cleanse me. Help me to keep my mind focused on you throughout all of this bright new year. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I hope today's message has resonated in your heart and in your mind. I hope and pray that God has renewed your spirit through this message, and your hope and your faith have been renewed too. And with that, until we join again, next week, same time, same place, may God richly bless you and yours. And remember, I love you, and I will be praying for you, thinking of you. I may not know you personally, but I know circumstances. I know hurt. I know pain. I know mental and emotional baggage. I know what it feels like. And just as God does, I want more for you. I love you so much, and I know you have the potential God has given you to be and do so much more. And so once again, I say, go, go, go. Run that race. You can do it. Next two songs are I Am Yours by Casting Crown
and Need You Now by Plum.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done, not not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Not because of what I've done, but because of who.